Hey, Life Church, Lydia Long here. I am the Director of Online Ministries here at Life Church, and I am so excited that you've clicked on this video and you've decided to join us for online services. We're going to go into a time of hearing the preaching of God's Word, and this is a super exciting message today. Pastor Dave Pretlove is preaching our first sermon in the new worship center at our South Campus, and so join us. Come into service now as we hear the teaching of God's Word from Pastor Dave.
Well, today's an exciting day in the history of Life Church, a big weekend in our journey as we celebrate the grand opening of our brand new worship center. And really today, what I want to do is I just want to share with you some things that God has shown me over the last 15 years since Claire and I moved to Reno to start Life Church, and really over the last 13 years that we've been on this journey of building this campus. And so I just want to share a few things with you from my heart today. Here's the first thing. The best things we do in life are often the most difficult things we do in life. And so as I look back on our journey at Life Church, Claire and I moved here the summer of 05. That fall, we began gathering with some folks in our living room, and then in January of 06, we started with a relatively small group of people at Galena High School, and after the church had been going about a year and a half, I assembled some folks in the church to begin praying about where would Life Church be long term, and then we kind of looked all over South Reno, and God guided us to these four parcels of property that now have become one parcel where our church sits today. And really, when there's only about 150 people going to Life Church, we stepped out in faith and bought these 10 and a half acres for a little bit over $2 million. And if we were to buy that same property today, it'd be over $5 million. But for us at the time, 150 of us, church going a year and a half, I look back on that and just think, what a tremendous miracle that we were even able to do that. And then soon after we bought this property, the Great Recession hit, really slowing down our process of paying that property off and moving towards building anything on this property, which really led to our church being fully portable for 11 and a half years, and then nearly 15 years now before we've ever really had a permanent purpose-built worship center. And so what this process has shown me is that many times the big stuff we do in life will be more difficult than you think, take longer than you think, and many times costs more than you think. And this has been true with this campus. It's true in marriage. Anyone that gets married soon realizes, hey, this is going to be harder than I thought and probably cost more than I thought. This is true with having kids. You don't have to have kids too long before you realize this is harder than I thought and definitely costs more than I could ever imagine. And it's been true with this building. And really, this brought to mind this journey has brought to mind a quote for me from Bill Gates, who's famous for Microsoft and now with conspiracy theory lore. Here's what he said. Most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. And I think about myself, when we started Life Church, I was only 29 years old, and I definitely had that mindset, probably overestimating what I could do in a short period of time and underestimating what God could do through us in a long period of time. And in my experience goes something like this. I believe many times, and I think it's probably true for a lot of us, I think oftentimes when God's inviting me to do something that's going to be challenging, he really doesn't really let me know on the front end how difficult it's actually going to be, because if I knew how tough it was going to be, I might not do it. And I look back on when we first started buying this property 13 years ago. If I knew it was going to take 13 years before we had a purpose-built worship center on this property, if I knew how difficult it was going to be to lead through the recession while paying off this property and all of those things, there's good odds I would not have signed up for that. But many times in my life, whether it's with starting Life Church, whether it was buying this property, whether it was adopting three little boys, whether it was lots of things in my life that God invites me to do, many times he doesn't let me know quite how difficult it's going to be on the front. And I think we see this in the Bible. When God first promises Abraham that he's going to be a father of this great nation and have all these descendants, Abraham very likely thought, well, that's going to happen here pretty quick. But it was 25 years before that promise came to be fulfilled in his life. I think about Jesus going to the disciples and saying, hey, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And then they had no idea that 3 years later they'd be standing there and seeing Jesus on trial, ultimately hanging from a tree. They had no idea. Idea that the trials that would come as they followed Jesus and preached the gospel, leading to almost all of them ended up giving their life as martyrs, as followers of Jesus. They had no idea. So what we see is this thing that the greatest things that we're a part of in life are many times difficult. I really believe this. Many times the hard parts of our journey are the good parts, and sometimes they lead to the very best parts. Really, these good parts of the struggle. And so when I look back on Life Church, fully portable, for so long, and 15 years old before we have our first real worship center, while I many times wished it would have come easier and gone more quickly, that there's really incredible things that have come out of it. And that part of it, this journey, has upped our dependence on God through the whole time where we were portable and meeting at high schools. At any given time, semester to semester, any of those schools that could have said, hey, you can't meet here any longer, but that never happened to us. But still, we were walking with this dependence on God, trusting in Him. I believe that being so long portable, and then these last few years, us having church upstairs in our kids' building, a room that we built for kids to play dodgeball in, a room we can only put about 190 people in, video overflow in the room next door, using that building in ways we never intended to. The combination of all of that, I believe, has made us a better church. I believe it's forced us to be creative. I believe it's forced us to be flexible. I believe it's forced us to be scrappy. It's been so good for kind of building some of that DNA in us, DNA that we've really needed in 2020, when everybody, and especially churches, find themselves in moments of having to kind of recreate how they do things. Our staff, our leadership team, you as a church, have always had to be flexible. It's been so good for us, this struggle, the fact that it's taken a while. And the other thing I'm grateful as I am to have this building and this campus, what's been so good for us is it has reminded us over and over and over again that church is not a building. And while I'm grateful that we finally have a building, a purpose-built place to gather in large numbers and worship, I'm so grateful. I never want us to lose sight of that the church is not a building. Second thing is this: God loves Life Church more than I ever could. In the early days of the church, probably for about the first 10 years, really, I really obsessed about everything. If the church was doing great, then I was doing great. If the church was struggling, then I was struggling. If we had a Sunday where everything went the way I dreamt that it could and should, then I was thrilled. If it didn't, then I would have 24 to 36 hours of just being down in the dumps. I very much connected my sense of who I was, my well-being, my value to what was happening at Life Church. In some ways, I found myself overly connected. But what happened is over the years, one, that took a great toll on me, where I realized, man, if I'm going to do this for the long haul, I've got to figure out a way where I'm not just constantly riding this roller coaster. And then really, I began to just really discover this truth, that God cares more about Life Church than I ever could, and that it's His church. And that began to allow me to be freer. Now, I've not arrived in all this, but it allowed me to take big steps in being freer, simply to work hard, do my best, do it with all of my heart, and then trust Him more, and then stress out less. But it was really rooted in this fact that God loves Life Church more than I ever could. It's His church. Now listen, all of us have a role to play here. I have a role to play, and our leadership team has a role to play. If this is your church where God's plugging you in, then you have roles to play. But really, at the end of the day, it's God that does the hard work. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, what was going on in this church here in Corinth is there were people in the church that were getting far too focused on who was doing what, who were the leaders. And Paul talks about this. He says, what, after all, who is Apollos? one of the leaders there. Who is Paul, talking about himself? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, he's saying, hey, we have a role to play. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it. But look here, but God has been making it grow. But other translations say, but God brings the increase. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, that they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. He's not minimizing the fact that we all have a role to play. He says, "For and this is an incredible statement, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building." And so what Paul here is saying is, hey, we all have a role to play, but at the end of the day, the hard work is left to God. God does the big stuff. God brings the increase. That's really what Jesus is saying in many ways in Matthew 16, 18, where he says that nothing will prevail against his church. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Again, Jesus is saying, I care more about the church than anybody else. I have a bigger role in the church than anybody else. I'm going to be the one that builds it. And so as I recognized more and more, and I'm still in the journey of recognizing more and more, that at the end of the day, Jesus loves Life Church more than I ever could. It's at the end of the day, the hardest work is his. It frees me up to just work as hard as I can, trusting in him, and then stressing out less and walking in freedom more as I trust. Really, this trust thing is such a big deal. Jeremiah 17, 7, I love how he says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. See, here's the thing. It's his church. And so I've been on a journey of learning to trust him more with it. And as followers of Jesus, our life, it belongs to Jesus. And so we're all on this journey of learning more to trust him with our lives. He says this, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He says what their life will be like. He says, if you trust God, he says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. He says, you'll feel nourished. You'll feel fresh. You won't feel dried up. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. You'll feel fruitful. It has no worries. You won't feel stressed out in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. See, this trust thing. And so over these last 15 years since we started the church, these last 13 years since we've been building this campus, it's been on this journey of learning that God loves Life Church more than I ever could. Here's the third thing God's been showing me in this journey. The people you are with matter as much as what you are doing. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament is Apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Twice in 1 Peter, Paul tells the Christians there, he says, above all, love each other deeply. One time he says, love each other deeply from your heart. Over here in chapter 4, verse 8, he says, above all, love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Well, what Peter's saying here, he says, man, this Christian life, there's nothing more important than the way we love each other. Now, obviously, it begins with us loving God, but this overflow is we love each other the way God loves us. And so this journey, this last 13, 15 years, it's been this journey of really recognizing that the people that you're doing it with matter every bit as much as what you are doing. I think of these difference makers, people that without the difference they've made, there's no way Life Church looks the way that it looks. There's no way Life Church has impacted the people it's impacted. There's no way that we're opening this building today. I think about the people that came to Life Church in the first year. People that were all in on Life Church and what God was doing in and through us in those earliest moments in my living room and at Galena High School, when the survival of the church was iffy, much less its success. But there were people that were just all in on those early moments, difference makers. I think about people that kept serving and setting up as we were a portable church for 11 and a half years. People that every week would come and set up and tear down and do it week after week, month after month, and year after year, and all the while doing it with a great sense of joy, doing it with very little complaining, just doing it with the relationships that were formed in the midst of that incredible service, those difference makers. I think about the incredible generous people that God has brought to Life Church that have been so generous from the early days up until now. So many of you have been generous in so many incredible sacrificial ways. And I just am grateful for the incredible generous people that God's brought. I'm thankful for the elders of Life Church throughout the years, those earliest group of elders who just stepped out in faith. I think about Craig Rogers and Gary Turner and others that in those earliest moments when Life Church was still very small, still in the earliest days, stepping out in faith, seeing the big vision of what God had in store. I'm thankful for our elders currently and our elders through these last years, the difference makers, the faith, the way they have supported me in so many big ways. I'm thankful for Randy York, has served as one of our elders for so long, who played such a big role in moving the vision of this campus forward. I think about our staff over the years, our staff in the earliest days, all the way to our staff currently. We've always been blessed with a great staff. And I'll tell you this, I was looking around our staff this last week and just thinking, we've got the greatest staff that we've ever had in the history of this church. And I couldn't be more grateful. I think specifically about just our staff and our production team that have worked so hard through all of this, equipping this building. I think about our kids' staff that's been flexible for so many years and how we've done children's ministry and now kind of re-equipping our kids' building. All of our staff, I think about Scott Rhoda, who has been just hands-on for the last year and a half, driving the train of opening up this building. He's done an incredible job. So grateful for our staff. Here's the big picture I want you to get. Life Church has the greatest people, not a perfect church by any stretch, but Life Church has the greatest people I've ever known. And here's what I've really been reflecting on in these last days and weeks. I would rather have no building with great people than have the greatest building I could possibly imagine with a bunch of mean, grumpy, religious people. And what I'm grateful for in this next season is that now we get to have a nice building, but even better people. And I'm so grateful for the people of Life Church. And it really does matter every bit as much who you're doing it with as much as what you are doing. And here's the last thing I want you to know, is that through recessions, through prosperity and pandemics, the local church is still the hope of the world. There's been times in the history of our church where we were walking through an incredible difficulty. I think about in the recession when so many people in our church lost their homes. So many great people, a part of Life Church, had to move out of Reno just because they couldn't afford to make a living here. And then I think about seasons of incredible prosperity where it really felt like we had the wind at our back. And then I think about this current season that we're in, the very strange 2020 where things are so unpredictable. In this time, the one thing that has never changed is that God is on his throne and that his chosen tool to expand his kingdom on earth is the local church, that it's the hope of the world. And ever since we started Life Church, our passion has really been we've kind of just been captured by this dream that we see of this picture in the book of Acts of the very first church. And our great desire is that we would be as much like that first century church here in our time and in our place. And so I just want to read the Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is a snapshot of the very first Christians. What had happened is the Apostle Peter had just preached this message. People, Holy Spirit comes in power. People literally begging to give their lives to Jesus. And he says that 3,000 people got baptized on that day. This grand opening weekend, we're baptizing about 35 people. It's not 3,000, but it's still a lot to celebrate. But here's what we see, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, snapshot of these very new Christians. It says, they devoted themselves, these early Christians, they were all in. They knew that following Jesus and being a part of his church was not some side piece in their life. It was the center, it was the core. They were 100% all in. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They would come together and the apostles would teach, and they would root a lot of it in the Old Testament scripture and in the teachings of Jesus, and then the apostles' teaching is what became much of our New Testament. And so this early church was passionate about learning God's word, and that's always been at the core of Life Church, and to fellowship, And to the breaking of bread, they would take some bread and remember that that's a picture of Jesus' body. And they would take some wine and they remember that's a picture of Jesus' blood. And so this early church, they were centered on the good news of Jesus. They were focused on the gospel, that Jesus had lived the life we could never live, and that he had died the death we deserved to die, and that he had risen from the dead. And so they would come back over and over and over again to the cross and to the gospel. Everyone was filled with awe. There was this incredible sense of the presence and the power of God, that there was this tangible sense that God is with us in a special way, and many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. So there was a sense of God's presence, but now there was the demonstration of God's power. People were praying and expecting God to do big things, and that's always who we've wanted to be as a church, that when we gather, that there would be this tangible sense of the presence of God, and that we would seek after God and pray for things with an expectation of God to move in power. It says all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone as they had need. See what was going on here is they recognized that God had made them family, and that family shares stuff. And so what happened is there was this incredible generosity. They recognized that God had given them more than they could ever thank him for, that God had given them more than they could ever fully understand. And so as they became more like God, they just became more and more generous. And I'll say it again, Life Church is the most generous church I've ever seen, and I thank God for that. He says they sold their property, they were sharing their stuff. It says every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They'd gather in large groups, which is one of the reasons I'm so excited about us having a place where we can gather in large groups, whether it's in this COVID season or in future seasons. We see part of what it looks like to be the family of God is to gather in large groups. And so right now, some of us are doing that live and some of us are doing that digitally, but it wasn't just that. Let me show this to you. It says they broke bread in their homes and ate together. So there was both this thing of gathering in large groups and gathering in small groups. But what we see is these Christians, it says they were doing it every day. They recognized that God had made them family, and so they loved to be together. And so they'd gather on Sunday to celebrate the resurrection, and then they would say, hey, I don't want to wait a whole other week before we do this again. Let's get together tomorrow at your house. And then they'd get together on Monday, and they would eat some food and talk about Jesus and encourage each other and pray for each other, but really just live life as family. And they'd say, hey, let's do this tomorrow night at your house. And it says they were getting together every single day. They were gathering. And so I just want to tell you, listen, church is more than a service. Whether you're experiencing it live or digitally, being a part of the family of God is so much more than that. I want to challenge you to gather. Christians for 2,000 years have been gathering. And so whether you do that live in a large group here at this our new worship center, or you do that digitally in a large, with kind of connecting with a large group through the internet, but there's also this smaller group piece. And so whether you're gathering with Christians in smaller groups to encourage one another live or digitally, Christians gather. Why? Because we're family. It's the family gathering. They continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There was this great joy with them. There was this great sincerity. They were praising God. These early Christians, Jesus had changed their life. They'd gone from being spiritually dead to being made alive. They'd gone from walking through life carrying guilt and shame and regret to now being set free from all of that. They'd gone from fearing death to now knowing that they never needed to fear death again. And so the only response that made sense for them is the only response that made sense for us, and that was just to worship. It says they were praising God, and it says they were enjoying the favor of all of the people. See, what we see is this. Through church history, there's no doubt there's been times when Christians have experienced seasons and waves of persecution. But there's also been seasons and times where Christians, as they just live the life of Jesus, where they loved like Jesus and expressed compassion and care like Jesus and cared for the least of these like Jesus, as they lived this life, that strangers on the outside would look and say, hey, there's something different about those people and the love they share and the community they share and the way that they care for each other and the way that they care for those that are in the most desperate need, that they would begin to enjoy favor. And that's my great desire for us as a church, that we would so love South Reno and our region, that we would so love like Jesus, love each other like Jesus, love the least of these like Jesus, that we'd be the greatest servants in our community, that people would look and say, there's something different, and the difference would be Jesus in us, and that we would enjoy this favor. But here's the key thing. It said, and then what happened is the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What was happening is these people, as Jesus was changing them, making them more like himself, other people on the outside looked and they say, hey, that Bob, I've known Bob his whole life. Bob's always been grumpy, but lately Bob's got the greatest joy I've ever seen. What happened to you, Bob? And then Bob would say, let me tell you, his name is Jesus. And then there'd be a lady named Sally, and they'd say, man, Sally's always been stingy and never would share anything, but now she's become the most generous person I've ever known. And they'd say, Sally, what happened to you? And she'd say, well, let me tell you, his name is Jesus. And so what was happening is, literally, the Bible says every single day, someone else was becoming a follower of Jesus. And so my greatest desire is in the best of seasons and in the most challenging seasons, whether it's in recessions or whether it's in prosperity or pandemics, that we would just live this truth that the local church is the hope of the world, and that we would be the church that God's made us to be. And so here it is, that as much as God's done in these last seasons, as great as I am, that we finally have a purpose-built place to gather in large groups and worship, I really believe deep in my heart that we are simply getting started and the best is yet to come. Let me pray. So, Father, we do thank you again, God, for all you've done in the last 15 years at Life Church. God, for all that you've done allowing us to build this campus. And God, we know that every single good thing that's ever happened in the history of this church has been you, and we're grateful. And God, I do thank you for all the people that you've used, all the people that you've invited to join in on your work in this place at this time. And God, we're just grateful to get to be a part. And Lord, I pray that you would that there'd be nothing inside of us that feels like we've arrived, that there'd be nothing inside of us that feels like now we can kick back, that there'd be nothing inside of us that feels like we can stick our feet up, but that we would recognize that we've only come to this point because of the great things that you have in store to do in us and through us in the future, until everybody one day will, every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So good to hear the preaching of God's word in our new worship center. Thank you so much for engaging the sermon today and being with us today. And if you've been participating in services online, I want to invite you to something special we're starting up. Next month, we're going to be doing our first Life Track class in the month of November. So November 15th and November 22nd, we're going to be doing Life Track online. This is going to be a great way for you to get to know Pastor Dave more personally. I'll be participating in those as well, so you'll get to spend some time with me, some of our other staff, and it's going to be a process where you walk through learning more about Life Church. You're going to learn about our history, our beliefs. You're going to learn more about your own faith walk and how to grow in your spiritual journey with Jesus. And then we're going to end on November 22nd on how do you serve, and that's going to look like, for you that are staying home, that need ways to participate in the community at home, we're going to have some opportunities for you to serve and ways to plug into Life Church online. So I really want to encourage you to become a part of the Life Church online family and join us for Life Track online. You can text the word LC101 to 97000 to sign up for those classes and connect with us that way. And You can always connect with us throughout the week. Find us on any social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Just search Life Church Reno and connect with us and say, hey, we would love to connect with you and see how you're doing. If you're ready to plug in a little bit deeper as well, you can text the word LC Hello to 97000 and we'll get you connected more that way. Finally, church, we love to pray for you. Every single week, our pastors and our elders and our staff and our prayer team pray for you. And so let us know how we can pray for you this week. Text the word prayers to 97000 and tell us specifically what's happening, what we can join you in, and what we can pray for you this week. Church, we love you. May you be blessed as you go out, and you are the church outside of a building, outside of four walls. Go be the church this week. Blessings to you.